I'm going to talk today about exchanging gifts. It's a light, fluffy message, and yet it's. I believe that God, when we really appreciate what we have, who we have living in us, and the great things that he wants to do for our lives, you can't help but just be excited, just revived, and looking forward to seeing the great victory that God wants to have in each one of our lives through his Spirit. So we're going to look at exchanging gifts today because it's Christmas time, and this is what we do during this season is we exchange gifts and see the pleasure in someone receiving something that we picked out for them, and also just having the joy of opening something that we really like or need. Who's finished shopping so far? I see a raise of hand. Okay, so a lot of you are like me. You're last-minute shoppers, right? Dashing to the store, you know, running through. I don't know about you, but I do best under pressure. I really do. Because if I go out, like, if I went out on Black Friday, I'd look around like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff here. And I'd leave with nothing. Because I can't make decisions. You know, it's like, I don't know, would she really like that? I don't know. I mean, you know, is this really her style? So I leave with nothing. But when it's the last week or the last day, like tomorrow is a perfect day. Because you have to make a decision, you know? It's like, that's the only one there, you know? That's what I'm buying, you know? But no, really, we just buy what's there. But, you know, because you have to commit, you have to buy it, you know? But also, I started a strategy a few years ago. What I did was I would start going to the store, you know, last week and kind of like buy a lot of stuff, you know, for Jill. I'm talking about presents for Jill and my wife. And I would buy a lot of presents thinking, well, I know she won't like them all. All right. So this way she'll choose some of them and I can return the rest and the budget's right about where it's supposed to be, you know? So I go, I buy a lot of stuff. Do you mind if I no, I don't mind if you return that at all. I'll return it, you know? So we end up with about 50% of the gifts, you know, which is right where I want to be. The only problem is she started liking everything I was buying. So that's a, you sure you like it? It doesn't look too good on you. I mean, no. But, you know, because, you know, it was too much, you know, so anyway. But, so I got to change my strategy, I think. But, you know, God has the gifts that we want, that we need, or are to be used for others. You know, because the spiritual gifts are always running through us, you know. Sometimes we're not meant to keep them for a long time. Sometimes we're meant to pass them along. Because, you know, they're for our needs, but then there's someone else that needs them too. And sometimes we forget that. You know, that God always wants us to be exchanging gifts. Because, you know, the body of Christ, this church is really a spiritual gold mine when you think about it. Because I assure you, what you're lacking, whether it be some encouragement, whether it be some help with something, whether it be some knowledge, some wisdom on things, you know, in the body of believers, you will find what you need. You know, it's there's always a plenty supply. I think what the problem is sometimes we like isolate ourselves, you know. We start to get caught up in the routine of life or maybe the idols of life or the troubles of life. Something in life pulls us away from the body of saints where we really would find what we need. You know what I mean? Whether it be finances or the ability to earn an income or whatever it is, we can really find everything we need in the body of Christ. But sometimes we forget that, you know, because we don't invest in other saints, invest in getting to know them. So today we're going to talk about exchanging gifts. You know, Christmas, there's a lot of, you know, history behind Christmas. I know many say that it comes from a pagan holiday. We're not really going to look at that today, but the important thing is we know why we celebrate Christmas is because we celebrate Christmas because Jesus came to the earth for us, you know, because when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and receive him as our Savior, what we do is we give him our lives and he gives us his life. We become a new creation, you know. So we're going to look at this first verse because this is, of course, why we celebrate Christmas is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, Christ is the gift to mankind. And that's why receiving him, we receive everything we need, really. All the other gifts follow after we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and we receive that first gift, which is salvation. Of course, we look at Christmas is a time to exchange because the Magi, as John had taught last week about how the Magi came and delivered gifts sometime after Christ was born. You know, the gold to symbolize his kingship and the incense to symbolize his high priesthood, and also finally the myrrh, which is the ointment for burial, because he would be not only the high priest, but the actual sacrifice for our sins. You know, so that's why we celebrate exchanging physical gifts symbolically, because we've received so much in Jesus Christ. You know, I think, I don't know if you're like me, but I a lot of times don't realize gifts that God is presenting to me through other saints and directly from him, because we know that all gifts come from God. In fact, I came across this psalm recently. I love just how blunt and just simple it was. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Loads us. It's like, in other words, it's falling off the cart. We can't even carry all these gifts, you know, because they're meant to be shared, you know, abundantly with each other, you know, because we're a rich people. You know, it's great being us, isn't it? Isn't it great being a believer? Like, we have nothing but a great future, regardless of what this might look like right now. We have a wonderful, perfect future. It's great being us. Sometimes we forget that. We get caught up in, like, that kind of down spirit because things aren't going well here. But, you know, we have a great future ahead of us, you know? And so also we see that God in James chapter 1, verse 17, we see that, you know, God is, let's put that verse up there if we could, James 1, 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights through the Holy Spirit, whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, his gifts are always relevant. They never get old. They never wear out. They never get dusty or moldy or rusty. You know, they're always necessary. They're always relevant to your life or to someone else you're related to or connected to, because those gifts are always useful. And of course, you know, we're told that we are the bearer of gifts to one another. When Paul wrote to the Romans, if we could put that verse up, he says, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established." You know, Paul also, in the next verse, that is, "that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me." Because when we give a gift, we both benefit. When I give you a gift, I get fired up. It's such a spiritual high knowing that you benefited another brother or sister in the faith. Isn't it? You thought, like, wow, God, like, thanks, man. Like, that was just you living through me. Like, that was a great feeling, you know, of just that experiencing the Spirit of God living in this mortal flesh. What a wonderful feeling that is, you know, being used by God like that, being his customized Christ for that moment of time, you know? I mean, it's so important to realize how many gifts we have. But I do want to stop for a second because, you know, God's gift begins with salvation. Because without salvation, none of these other gifts are yours. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you might be a benefactor of some spiritual gift, but you're not benefiting spiritually because you don't possess the Holy Spirit if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Because, you know, grace, through grace, we receive all things. We're going to look at this verse, and I know you know it, Ephesians 2:8. It says, "It is by grace you have been saved." We're going to see this word grace a lot today, aren't we? Do you know that acronym of grace? It's just a great way to remember what the word means. Yes, it's a girl's name. And now it's a perfume, too. Amazing Grace perfume, I just heard. Well, you know, the secular world's trying to steal all the good stuff to sell things, aren't they? But grace, by grace, that's God's riches at Christ's expense. You know, I heard that once, and it always stuck. God's riches, his wealth, everything he has in heaven. God's riches at Christ's expense because he paid for you so you can receive it. It was already his. He possesses it and he paid for your life so you could have his life So now he can download his grace into his life in you. You know what I mean? You have to buy the software to be able to download the upgrades, right? You have to own the software first. Well, he owns the software, and he wants to give it to you. And so many people say, I don't want it. I don't need it. You know, it's crazy, isn't it? Why anyone would not receive Christ? Why wouldn't you want to just live forever in eternity with Jesus Christ, your creator, the one who loves you more than anyone else can, the one who knows you inside and out? So it is by grace you have been saved through faith. You know, faith is the spiritual hands. It's by faith you receive everything from God. It's how you hold on to what God has for you. Because I'm not saying you'll lose your salvation if you struggle with faith at times. I'm not saying that. But it's by faith you receive everything. You know, because everyone has been given faith. And we're going to look at that in another minute. Because, you know, everyone has been given a measure of faith, the word says. Even unsaved people. The only difference between someone who doesn't know Christ and someone who does is they chose, because everyone believes in something they can't see, don't they? I mean, everyone does, you know. Everyone believes things they don't see. But our faith is precious because we invested our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because we said, you know what? I know I could believe in anything I don't see, but I'm believing God. I'm believing Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And I'm investing my faith in him. And suddenly our faith becomes precious because his grace flows through our faith. You know what I mean? Now, all of a sudden, I'm alive in Christ and my faith is precious. So it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So I want to just say right now, you know, if you're here and you've never accepted salvation from Christ, It's crazy to go on without just receiving everything God has. You know, he created you with a purpose in mind to live through you. Someday we're all going to be in heaven. We won't need faith then. But right now, I just want to implore you to invest your faith in Jesus Christ. It's so easy. And you know, the rest of this message and the rest of this life will mean something to you if you accept him as your Savior. So I just want to invite you right now, even to pray with me now, if you'd like to receive Christ, receive his Spirit, and live for eternity, but also have his life living in you, his Spirit living in you, and you will be a new creation. So let's pray. Lord God, I know I'm a sinner. If you want to pray this, if you've never prayed this before, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe you died on the cross and became my sin. And today I want to give my life to you and receive your Holy Spirit and be forgiven of all my sins, past, present, and future, and receive this new life in you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you've received salvation, that's the first gift, really, of grace, you know? Grace is like a mutual fund or a portfolio of wealth, if you want to think of it in terms of that. But it is so much God wants to pour into your life. You know, it begins and ends with salvation, because when we get to heaven, you know, these other gifts, they may be up there, but we won't need them to represent him up there, because we'll all be there, you know. But down here, he's gifted us with things to live his life down here, specifically for him, because we're like a temple. That's what we are. We're the tabernacle of Christ. You know, what we see here is withering away. It's so temporary, but it's his life that is eternal. It's forever, you know? And to receive his life in this is true life, you know? So we're going to be looking here at some things about ministering to one another the gifts of our spirit, of the Spirit who lives in us. So this first verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know that manifold. You know what that word manifold means? It means variety. It means changing, but of the same substance. You know, it looks different, but it's the same. It's a variety of the same, you know? And the grace of God is a variety, because when God's moving through people, it looks different, sounds different, But it's always edifying the body of Christ. That's why one person can be a great builder, another person can be a great musician, and another person can be a teacher, or someone could be tremendous at administrating, you know, or helping, you know, because we're all knit together as one body. In fact, John's been speaking on this on Wednesday nights about the Spirit of God being one body of Christ, and how there is no, when there's a weak part of that body, you know about it, you know? And we all need to help that part of the body that's weak, because when one is weak, we all become weak. You know, it's the weakest link of the chain. You know what I mean? Something like that. But so, you know, it's important for us to have a strong body of Christ. So it says here, the minister of the manifold grace, the variety. In the next verse, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's a spokesman. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever. So we're to be ministers of that manifold grace, the variety. Your life is always important to the body of Christ. Sometimes you might stay home, say, I have nothing to offer, and I've seen everything there is to see. That's because you're not allowing the Spirit to show you what you might need and what you have to offer. Because we all have something to offer the brothers and sisters of the Lord, you know? We really do. And the next verse we're going to look at here, and this is 1 Corinthians 1:4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Sorry. Okay. Oh, can you go back 1 second? Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace. There's that word. You're going to see grace constantly. God's riches at Christ's expense. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus. In the next verse, verse 5, that you were enriched. You know this word, enriched. You know, when you read on the loaf of bread, enriched wheat flour, you know, somehow I don't think I'm being enriched, you know. You know, because when a manufacturer or the government enriches you, somehow something's not good in there, I have a feeling, you know. And it's the truth with a enriched wheat flour. It's because, like, they pulled out about 11 nutrients. And then because they felt sorry for us, they put about 5 inferior nutrients back in. You know, that's enriched, you know, because the world takes away and then they give a little back. I once remember this saying that says, the big print giveth what the small print taketh away in any contract. You know, I just remember that. You know, it's true because, you know, the world, you know, takes a lot away and gives back a little. But in the Spirit, we are enriched with things we never had before. Because when you are flesh, you can't possess these things. But in the Spirit, we are enriched in what God has poured into us, you know. And that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge. And the next verse, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. You know, there's a, when you get a chance, look it up. It's in 1 John chapter 5. And it's a great, awesome picture of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because it says in heaven, right now, there are 3 witnesses that are really one. And it's the Word, who is Jesus Christ. That's His eternal name, the Word. In fact, when we see Him in Revelation coming back, He'll have the Word written on Him, you know. Because He is the Word. He is the Alpha and the Omega. So there's 3 witnesses acting as one. And it's the Word, it's the Spirit, and the Father. And then in that text, it says also, just as there are 3 as one witnesses in heaven, there are 3 that act as one witness on earth. It is the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And do you know who that is? That's you, and that's me. That didn't work right. That's you, and that's me. Do you know? That's who that is. We are the testimony that Jesus Christ lives, that He is alive. When we live His life, when He's living through us, and we're living his gifts, and we're exchanging his gifts, empowering brothers and sisters, evangelizing to the lost. You know, we're living his life. We don't have to do these things. There's no requirement. We're not working for our salvation, but it's his life. We're letting him say, all right, God, live. And he's living through us. We're the testimony that Christ lives. When they see you, they say, you know, I do believe there's a Jesus because I've just kind of met him. I've met someone, and if he's anything like that person, I think I want to know more about him. You know, we're the testimony. So this verse says that the testimony, if you just go back one, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, and verse 7, so that you come short in no gift. Come short in no gift. You know what that come short means? Leave behind. Leave behind no gift. You know what I have here? I have here a gift card. It's an American Express gift card. I was cleaning out my junk drawer, okay? And, you know, lifting up the old coins and the dirt and the dust and whatever else is in that junk drawer. All of a sudden, I come across this. I'm like, yeah, cool. $50. Expires September 2007. Oh, man. Like, who can't use $50? Well, I can't. I can't use this $50. I mean, isn't that a bummer? I think they've done away with expiration dates from what I hear. But that's a bummer, you know? I mean, have you ever, like, lost or forgotten about a gift card till it was too late? I mean, that is a real bummer, you know? And it's saying here in this text, don't leave behind those gifts. You know what you're gifted at. Use it for the kingdom. You know, use it for God's kingdom. Don't leave it behind. You know, it's so important and critical for right now. So that verse, as we continue to read, is this Mike okay? Mike good? Okay. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly awaiting the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the next verse, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he has installed in you gifts. He owns them. They're free and clear because they belong to him. If you're like me, you're probably buying some Christmas presents on credit cards, right? And hopefully by next Christmas, those balances attributed to this Christmas are paid off. You know, I hope within 12 months, the balances will be paid down to zero, at least the part of the Christmas presents. Because, you know, we're buying them on credit. But Christ owns everything he's given. He's in debt to no one. You know, he's not borrowing to, he's not stealing from one person to lend to you. There's a never-ending supply of his spiritual gifts that he wants to just shower upon his saints and pour into our spirit so that we can just represent him in this lifetime. So as we read on here, we're going to take a look at, if you can open your Bibles, to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 7 to 13. Just an example of like a physical gift. I have a wrestling mat in my storage room because, you know, back when the kids used to be into wrestling and I was into this grappling thing for a while. So I have this wrestling mat in my storage room collecting dust, you know, and haven't been used in, wow, 5-6 years. So all of a sudden, I go down to Rock Ministries. Some of you heard about that. It's like a boxing and wrestling gym in Kensington. But it's also, they share the gospel. And I go in there and I see them wrestling on this hard jigsaw puzzle mat. And I'm like, well, yeah, that doesn't look very comfortable. But then I leave, you know. And all of a sudden, the other day, I'm going into my storage room to go get chairs or something. I'm staring at my wrestling mat, collecting dust, and saying, maybe I should bring that down there. I mean, it's not being used. I mean, a lot of spiritual gifts are like that, too. You know, if you're gifted at something, sometimes you forget, you know what? I should be used. I know of so many saints that really know the Word of God. I just implore you to please, you know, get involved in discipling people, you know? Get involved with, you know, home fellowship. Get involved with things that you could share your knowledge of the Word because it's so valuable. You know, in a time and season where people just don't even like to read in general, including me, but I do read the Word. But, you know, people don't like to read or don't have time, and the Word of God is being forgotten. You know, it's so important to use your gifts. But as we look here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, says, "But to each one of us, grace," that's that word again, "was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." And that measure just is everything. "Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive." Isn't that a wonderfully redundant phrase? Captivity captive. That means he shackled the shackles to the shackles. That means he threw the prison in the prison. That means he took away any barrier to you living his life. You're not in captivity anymore. Sometimes we forget that we have been set free of the sins of our old nature. We really do. We sometimes think, well, you know, this is what I'm like. No, that's what you were like. You know, you were that way. You are a new creation. Forget the past. Move on. Forgive yourself, you know. Move on and live his life. You know, that's what's great. You know, that picture of the criminal on the cross. He didn't have time to change his life. He only had time to say one thing. "Remember me when your kingdom comes." And, of course, rebuke the other criminal on the cross, you know. So, but, you know, that's all he had time to do, you know. We don't have to earn our salvation. So we see here that he set captivity captive. That means there is no barrier to his life living in you except yourself. I will mention, you know, that's where sins come in. We won't talk about that today. But I will say, you know, if you want to stop the flow of the Spirit, if you want to not recognize God's gifts being given to you or what you have to offer, sin is the easiest way. Because sin stifles the flow of the Spirit. Sin equals death, and it's not literal death, but it actually starves the life of Christ that he wants to live through you. It obstructs his flow of the Spirit. So we're the only ones that can get in the way of this, you know? So it says, "and gave gifts to men." Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. You know, it's all about Jesus. Everything's about Jesus. Because in the end, it's only him who saves. There's no other name that anyone can call upon and be saved. It's all about Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. You're either going to be broken upon him or he's going to crush you. One or the other, everyone will bow to Christ someday. Everyone will. And he says here that he filled all things. So when he descended into the depths of the earth, it means he died for your sins. And then he rose to heaven so that he could send his Spirit to live in you so that you can receive him. Because he even said to his disciples, you should be glad. They're all brokenhearted that he's going. He said, you should be glad I'm going. Because unless I go, the Spirit will not come and fill you and convict the world of their unrighteousness and their sins. You know, he had to go so that we could live in the Spirit, so that the Spirit could live in us. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, that means building up, of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, when we are giving gifts to one another and building one another up, you know, we stand in Christ. And that means we're head and shoulders over any issue in this world. We stand taller than any problem or circumstances because we stand together in Christ. That means where I'm weak, someone will empower me, you know. Where I'm doubtful, someone will give me some faith, you know. Someone will supply what's lacking in my faith. They'll remind me of the greatness who lives in me. Sorry, this is falling off. Because of the Spirit. Is that good? Yeah. Because the Spirit, he says that, you know, when we rise up in Christ and we stand like him, we're high above all things in this world. We have that wisdom, that big view of things, you know, that nothing can stand in our way. And the enemy runs from us because he says, I don't want to mess with that. I mean, you know, he sees who we are in Christ. And also, we crush the head of the snake. We don't have to bother with the snares of this world. We're the head, not the tail. When we rise in Christ together and power each other in the areas that we're weak, we are so much stronger and better than we could ever be on our own. And in a lot of ways, we're all pastors. I mean, there are assigned people that are the teachers and the pastors. But, you know, in a sense, we're all pastors. You know, if you're a parent, you're a shepherd of your kids. You know, if you are a supervisor of any type, you are a pastor, you know, of the people working for you. If you're a friend, you're a shepherd of your friends when they're going astray. Yo, dude, come on back. You know, you're going the wrong way. You know, we're all empowered in the Spirit to be always building each other up for the profit of all. If we could look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. We're going to put it up here if you rather not turn to it. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. That's that manifold we were talking about, that variety. But the same Spirit is living through these things. And the next verse. But the manifestation, that means the visible evidence of the Spirit, is given to each one for the profit of all. So we can all benefit. Someone is good at something so that we can all benefit from it. You know, the person that built this wall behind us, this stone wall, we're all benefiting from that. The electrical that Pete put up, that we're all benefiting from that. We're all benefiting from the security walking around this place today. You know, we're all benefiting from something that someone is doing, from the sound man here today, the music. We're all profiting from the other brothers and sisters in the Lord. And the next verse, for to one is given the word of wisdom, and wisdom is that big view of things, God's perspective. You know, many times, you know, saints who have been around some time, they've been through a lot, they have experience, but it isn't always contained really with age, you know, because I hear an amazing amount of young people who have wisdom that is far beyond their age. I'm like, wow, would you say that again? That is powerful. And that's the Spirit thinking in them, you know, because we are given a gift of wisdom. And wisdom always seeks knowledge. Did you know that? Like, when you become prideful, wisdom stops. That's why wisdom leads to destruction. I mean, I'm sorry. Pride leads to destruction. Because wisdom avoids pride, and it's always seeking more knowledge. You know what I mean? So that they can know more things to help more people. And people are given the gift of knowledge. You ever know someone that just seems to always remember facts? Or always remember where to find scripture that applies to the situation? You know, knowledge. Or just understand mechanical things, you know? The knowledge. Because people are given a specific gift of knowledge, more than others many times. But it's to be shared with each other. And the next verse. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. You know, healings are happening. They really are, whether we want to believe it or not. You know, sometimes we just attribute it to medicine, to time, things like that. But I've experienced a lot of healings. I mean, even recently, a girl in our youth group had 2 years of migraine headaches to the point of, you know, very ill, you know, vomiting, couldn't go to school, couldn't come out to youth group and everything. And then finally, the youth all prayed over her. And for the next 2 weeks, she continued to have migraines. So right away, my cynical, double-minded mind would suddenly say, well, you know, God, you know, heals who he wants to heal, which is true. But I start to have doubts, you know. But I just continue to say, no, yeah, Lord, you know, if you want to heal her, you can. And then she came in, and the elders and some of the youth leaders, we prayed over her again. They anointed her with oil and everything. The next week was the worst she ever had. In fact, she went to the hospital. Part of her body went numb. They had no clue why this was happening. And suddenly, at the end of that week, it just went. It just left. And she hasn't had a migraine now for 5 months. They're just gone. Sometimes because it doesn't happen immediately, we right away doubt, you know? Dan Reyes is an amazing, amazing story of healing when he was 12. 19. He had a heart issue, and he'll tell you someday, but, you know, there he was, and from nowhere, it just left. They thought, you know, he could have died, and it just left, you know? Healings happen, whether we want to believe it or not, but we're by not believing, we may not be receiving, and I'm not saying, you know, name it or claim it, but I think with faith, we can accomplish so much more than doubting God. You know what I mean? Because he gives us gifts of healings, and they haven't ceased. And the next verse. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. That's speaking truths into situations that, you know, you're not saying, God is just telling me this is going to happen. It's like, I know God's promises. I know his word. And I see what's happening. So, you know, with a gift of prophecy, you can kind of make some biblically grounded judgments on what might happen or what the true circumstances are. That's prophecy, is using God's given word and applying it to a situation and applying his promises and his truths about the situation. You know, you're using prophecy. To another, discerning of the spirits. And in the last days, we are going to need that big time, because the enemy is wrapping himself in a lot of do-good organizations and, of course, cults and everything else, trying to deceive people. And interpretation of tongues, the different kinds of tongues. And verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And that next verse. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. You know, when we're sharing with each other, and this isn't a complete list of gifts. The gifts go on and on, you know, and, you know, helps, administration, and they go on and on. But just realizing that there's a gift that God wants you to use, that he has gifted you with, you know, and sharing with someone else empowers both you and the receiver, you know, because you're experiencing God's love. Because, you know, what I'm realizing more and more is that gifts lead to good works. If you're gifted at something, then God shows you the good work to do. And then the good work leads to the fruit of the Spirit. Because the end result is someone knows that they're loved. Someone has been given long suffering through that gift that you had, and that you brought the good work which produced the fruit of the Spirit. Because that's the chain. It's the giftings lead to the good works, which lead to the fruit of the Spirit. Because in the end, all that we're going to have left is love. And there's nothing more important than loving the brothers and sisters through using our gifts for good works. We're not earning salvation. We're just living Christ. I have a little example here. A little illustration before John kicked it around the stage. No, I'm kidding. But let's give it a shot. The first service was a guinea pig to this. And they told me what I should have done differently. So I'm changing it up a little bit. Hopefully not to my detriment. But here we go. So, you know, when we first get saved, we receive salvation. And when we receive salvation, some of us think it kind of ends there. Some of us think that, well, I got saved, and someday I'm going to heaven. But we forget that salvation is the beginning of the gifts, because he wants to do a whole lot more than just save you. You should have seen the first service. I had it three levels. But it was down there and nobody could see. So up here, I'm not told. I said, Johnny, you got to come up here and stack these glasses for me. But we're going to keep it at this. But, you know, we think salvation is everything. And it is. It's the beginning and the end. But in the meantime, during that dash of life, you know, that's going to be on our tombstone, that dash, there are gifts that he wants to pour into you for you to use to live his life. That when it's all over, you can say, you know, Christ, you really lived through me. Thank you, man. Thank you. I got out of the way and did away with that pornography, did away with that selfishness, that greed, that gossiping, did away with that attitude of bitterness. I did away with unforgiveness. And I just let your spirit live through me and give all those great gifts to my fellow brothers and sisters. And, you know, so we come to Christ and we receive salvation and we're all excited, you know. I don't know about you, but I love to hear I'm a new creation. Ooh, what's that going to be, you know? And I said, that means, you know, I'm going to live a supernatural life, you know. So we receive that wonderful pouring in of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we're overflowing with joy. And we're saying, wow, God, thank you for living through me like that and pouring that fresh spirit into me. But then all of a sudden we get caught up in the routine of life. You know, we get caught up in the monotony of life. And we say, Lord, I just need more. And he pours more spirit into us. Okay, we say, okay. But then after time, you're like, yeah, but is that all you got, God? And we get caught up in the routine physical realm. And we don't realize there's a whole lot more that he wants to pour into our lives. But we're missing out because we're not fellowshipping. We're missing out because we're not reading the word. We're missing out because we're just not giving in to the Lord and praying and asking him to show us more things. Because if we do those things, he's going to pour more spirit into our lives. He's going to pour more giftings because he wants to always, always be living through you in a powerful way. He always does. And then yet sometimes we say, okay, I think I've had enough, God. I'm kind of busy now. My job's real busy. School's real busy. My job's real busy. And look, I got to make a living, or I got to get married. I got to do these things. I have kids. For crying out loud, I have little kids. I mean, what else do you want me to do? And then we start drifting away. And all of a sudden, the spirit of the gift of God's life is not living in us. But we call upon him, and he always wants to continue to pour more and more of his spirit in us and continue to live in your life. Even when you think you've seen it all. You know, even when you think, all right, God, you're done with me. You know, I'm 82 years old. I'm in a nursing home. Lord, you know, what else can you do in my life? Well, I'll show you. Why don't you start a Bible study and teach these other elderly people? Because he wants to just keep pouring. Just keep pouring. Because that's what he does. He doesn't stop. We stop. He never stops. He never stops. You know, if you're willing, if you believe, you will receive. Because there's always more life he wants to live in you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the life that you want to live in us, even when sometimes we want to give up. So, Lord God, we just want to offer our lives to you as a living sacrifice to live powerfully. Thank you for these great saints here that love you and that want to honor you with their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.